Adam Phoenix had always tried to do his packing in private to avoid upsetting Elaine. It wasn't as if she didn't understand his job. She just seemed to find the sight of him preparing to ship out a bit too much to bear. She wasn't a demonstrative woman, so there were no tears or histrionics. She'd just get that look, that way of turning her head very slowly, as if she was imagining the worst that could happen to him, and was dragging her eyes away from the awful scene. And now he had to lock the bedroom door, because his son was old enough to understand where Daddy was going, and he'd get upset too. Marcus was nearly 5. He'd learn to knock on the door and wait a few moments, but then he'd open it anyway. It was time for Marcus to get used to partings. He had to start school in a few weeks, and that was going to be a bigger wrench than watching his father get ready to go back to the front. Adam folded his last pair of socks, forced them into the remaining gap in his kit bag, and secured the outer zip. There was a science to packing. He'd mastered it. He had everything he needed and nothing that he didn't. Every item in that bag tested for necessity, and there were no bulges or edges straining against the canvas fabric to fray on hard surfaces. Elaine had a point. It did feel final. It always did. He unlocked the door and went downstairs, one hand skimming the long, polished banister, conscious of the gaze of previous generations of phoenixes from the ancestral paintings that lined the walls. If anyone thought that long familiarity stopped him noticing them, it didn't. Too many of them had that implacable blue stare. Adam had been told he had it too, but that didn't make it an easier gauntlet to run. The portraits had expectations of heroism. I could donate them to the Tyrone National Gallery, I suppose. Dad's not here to stop me now. Adam walked from room to room, looking for Elaine. Finding anyone in a house of this size always took some time. Calling for her always felt vulgar. He could almost hear his father's voice telling him that only the laboring classes and clerks yelled, and that the one fitting place for a man to raise his voice was on the battlefield. It's my house now, but he's still here, dead or not. He found Elaine sitting at her desk, scribbling furiously. She didn't even look up. 2 minutes, darling. And there was I thinking my packing upset her. Adam had never been sure if that cool distance was her coping mechanism, or if she really did forget everything around her while she was working. She was a single-minded woman. Where's Marcus? He asked. In the library. He's 4. It's a lovely day. Whatever happened to playing in the gardens? Elaine paused for a moment, looking as if she was checking the last line she'd written. He's fine. The maintenance people are doing the lawns anyway. Too dangerous with all that machinery about. I'd better go make my peace with him, Adam said. By the time I finish this tour of duty, he'll be at school and, well, everyone says kids change fast after that. Good idea. Elaine swiveled her seat around and looked at him as if she'd noticed him for the first time. Aren't you going to ask me what's so important? Do you want me to? She indicated the computer screen, tracing her finger around the outline of an X-ray image. Does this ring any bells, Dr. Phoenix? Elaine was a developmental biologist. Adam prided himself on a broad-based science education that went further than engineering, but she left him in the dust on morphology. He studied the ghostly outlines. It was a leg, that was all he could say, a hind leg. He could guess that from the way the joints articulated, because form and function spoke to the mechanical engineer in him. Not many, Mrs. Dr. Phoenix. Elaine had a doctorate, too. Adam leaned over her and put his finger on the screen. It's not human, and I think that bit there is the knee. Very good, dear. But didn't you read Romilly as a child? The monster under her bed? Oh, girl stuff. Don't mock, darling. How is the monster always shown? That story goes back centuries, and the monster always has the same features, long front fangs and 6 legs. Tyrant culture was rich in myth and fairy tales, but Adam was a scientist, a rational man, and even as a boy he'd recognized that monsters were invented to keep the curious and argumentative in line. If he'd been a psychologist, he might have gone as far as to identify the fairy tale monsters as the darker urges of humankind. But he looked for the most obvious first and worked from there.